Well, we'll bring in Al's brother's gambling partner, Jeff O'Neill, in just a second, live from Edmonton. And I suppose, Al's brother, for your potential new roommate, if you move out downtown Toronto, sleep chemistry is important. You don't want someone on a completely different schedule. Let's bring him in. Jeff O'Neill from, of course, Overdrive, covering the World Juniors for us here at TSN. Oh, I'm sure the grappler filled you in what's going on with Al's brother and his hunt for a roommate. Any interest on your end?
What the hell are you talking about?
Well, so,
go ahead, AB.
You know, you've been hounding me now for a year. I got to get back into the city. So I'm finally getting in. AK has been as well. So I'm finally getting back into the city, starting to look at condos. I'm going to check one out tonight. But it's a little pricey, so, you know, I'm hoping to get a roommate for it. And the boys thought it'd be great to try and have some sort of contest or to help find a roommate for me. And they thought, hey, maybe the O-Dog could be the Casa Al-Dog for a little bit. What do you think?
Why don't you just have a charcuterie board contest?
Oh, we could do that.
Well,
whoever makes me the best charcuterie board,
they can move in with
you. That is who I want to be living with.
You're implying that living with you is like a privilege or a blessing. I think it's the opposite.
I think it's the opposite.
Like, I don't know.
Here's the idea that I came up with. Every Friday, you have two people call into the show, okay?
And I got to interrupt you. I find this way more funny than I should, but go ahead.
Okay. So here's what I've been playing with. So every Friday, the first two people that can get through on the phone lines, they get to go head-to-head on trivia. And Al's brother, he gets to pick the questions. It could be Leafs, could be football, could be just Al's brother questions. The winner gets to move in with Al's brother on Monday, stay for the week, and then you do a new trivia on Friday. And, you know, Al's brother, he treats it like you got the fresh towels, you got the chocolate on the pillowcase,
Airbnb.
He gives you the slippers. It's Airbnb Al's brother. What do you think of that?
I kind of like the idea of a contest, but what if somebody discovers that Al's brother like leaves his underpants lying in the living room, and they don't want to live with him? Period. So that basically just wipes out the trivia. It's like somebody's got to be compatible with Al's brother as far as living and all the other nonsense. So it's like. I mean, my wife asked me, she's like, we've got some things downstairs that we could turn the basement into a kind of a condo type area. And I said, no, hang on a sec. There is a but here. I said, I just believe that is the recipe for disaster. Just to have somebody move into your basement, they're always around, and it's just absolutely no way.
Could be Al's brother. You could walk down there at 2 or 3 in the morning and watch him just get a growl on with some chicken wings and pizza with no tarp on.
Oh, my god!
With the cats. He'd have the cats by his side.
Me and Hank. Get some bonding time.
The cats would be sleeping on Al's brother's hairy chest.
That's an image. I'm not sure.
Man.
I'll get out of my mind anytime soon. So Jeff O'Neill, our guest, live from Edmonton. And, oh, you took Twitter by storm a couple of days ago. I'm going to read the tweet. Maybe Joe from the Bridge can bring it up as well. Seeing a colleague and friend drop a ball out of a towel saying, I got it, was tough to watch. I'll leave it at that. We move on. And I guess we aren't moving on yet. Can you explain this whole situation and maybe even who you were referring to?
Okay. I honestly, it was a bit of a sore spot, so I am... like legally binded to not mention names with this, but I just want to say I played a course out in Edmonton with one colleague who was very familiar with the course. That's all I'll say about that. So James Duffy, another colleague hit a tee shot, and me and Bob McKenzie were partners, and the match was like, at the end of the day, I'll ultimately take responsibility for it. But James hit his drive, and the one colleague just said, that thing's gone, man. Like, that's gone. Because it was a blind landing area, and you couldn't see it. And I got up there, and I was kind of in the left rough. And all of a sudden, I saw him hitting a ball, and I was assuming it was a drop because this thing started way right. And the idea of this thing, like, curling over water and almost going backwards and landing on land, just, like, it just, the idea of it was impossible. I mean, I don't know how a ball goes up and to the left and almost backwards to get on land. But he made a putt, and I was like, bogey. And he was like, no, that's for par. And I said, oh, how is it for par if one went in the water? And he's like, no, that was actually just my drive. That's where it landed. And I was in my head. It kind of rattled me for the rest of the way through, but I didn't bring it up. And it was for $10. It didn't really mean that much. But maybe the golfing gods got back at him today because it was he had a bit of a grind today, I will say that.
Yeah, I saw you guys out there golfing for Bobby Margarita's birthday today. Shout out to the Bob Father. Any shenanigans out on the course today, O?
No, it was a beautiful day. We played a golf course called Windermere out here in Edmonton, and it was, and no disrespect to the other courses we played, but this is kind of like an old school traditional golf course. And I absolutely like loved it. There were some holes along the river. It was just a beautiful spot and a beautiful day. And Bobby Mack, I think, shot 82 or 83, and Duffy, I'll just say it, he shot 122.
He had a tough one.
Yeah, he had a tough day.
Nice. Well, that makes me happy.
Yeah, we'll see if he posts it on the Golf Canada app. I'll be watching that for Duffy. So. Actually, knowing Duffy, he probably will post it to bring his handicap up.
You're right.
Because Karolnik has a match against him, doesn't he?
I'm almost certain he said to me walking off of 18 that he shot 122.
sounds about right.
He's a pretty good golfer. I mean, he drives it fairly well, fairly long, too. He's not the biggest guy. But he struggles a little bit with, like, wedges around the green and all the stuff that's basically important to scoring. He had a tough time with. But he posted a 122 on Bobby's birthday.
Well, Canada has not had a tough time so far at these World Juniors. And last night, Connor Bedard put on another clinic. That goal he scored to make it 3-0 for Canada. Comparisons to a young Alexander Ovechkin, a young Jeff O'Neill. What was it like for you watching that live?
He shoots the puck like those guys do. It's like, you know, there's not like a couple years that need to go by where it's like, oh, maybe he might shoot it like Austin Matthews or Alexander Ovechkin. I watch those guys every night. It's the same shot. It's just no chance. The goalie's got no chance, and it's going in, and he loves to shoot it from everywhere. He makes... As you guys know, you see the clips on SportsCenter at night, and it's the WHL, and you're like, what do we really have here? And the guy's a star player. He's, you know, he can score every time he gets on the ice, and that shot, just like the other guys, it's just like Austin Matthews and Alex Ovechkin and Line A, they can shoot from distance and they can beat goaltenders. And that's really the big separator where it's like, you know, there's standard formations on the power play where it goes up top and then it goes to the wing. And then there's about 10 guys in the league that can shoot it where the goalie's just got no chance. They're so big and they just slide over. And for most guys, it just hits them on the shoulder, hits them in the chest. But there's about 10 guys that rip it under the bar and the goalie's got no say in it and no chance. And then Bedard's going to be one of those guys. He, right now at 17 years old, he probably is one right now the way he shoots the puck.
Yeah, I think the other amazing thing, too, when you watch Connor Bedard is how fast he processes the game. Like, he never looks like he's in a rush out there. He never looks like he's really under pressure. You think it's one of those things where just, like, he thinks the game better than a lot of the guys around him? Because he's not the biggest guy. He doesn't look like he's the strongest guy, but, man, is he the best player out there.
Yeah, Frankie, I mean, that's what it generally comes down to is, you just wonder, I watch all the time, it's like Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid, and then there's this kid, and it's like, how on earth, like he scored a goal the other night where he had a great give and go with Mason McTavish. And I was thinking, how the hell is this guy so wide open? Like, and it's the same thing with all of them. And it's just the way they think and the way they anticipate where it's like, they're smarter than everyone else. Like they know where the puck's going to be. And it's just a gift from God where it's just part of what they do on the ice. And they just do it naturally. It's not like they're out there thinking, okay, how am I going to be ahead of this? It's like all the great players, they're just in the right spots and they're going to get a bunch of opportunities. And certainly that, he's just, and as I just mentioned previously, it's like, I'm watching the kid. I'm like, is this guy going to make some plays where I'm going to go, wow? And he does. He makes those plays, like the little give and goes. And he's just a real special talent. And he seems like a super kid too.
I know that typically you got your guys, your my guys. Is there somebody who's really jumped off the page to you outside of Connor Bedard who you can sit there and say, wow, he's really surprised me at this tournament so far? That's my guy.
You know what? There's really a bunch of them, but it's the obvious pick. It's Mason McTavish. I think this guy is like, I know there's some good young players in Anaheim that they already have, but it looks like this guy could be their captain in a couple of years. He's really good, man. He just, Zabrango and Zellweger on the back end, they're really good players, but Mason McTavish, he's the real deal. And the other kid from Ottawa, Ridley Gregg, is really good. Everyone's, you know, we were all talking, some different scouts, and Craig and Bobby and James and myself and Cheryl, we were talking like, where is he ultimately going to play this year? And I understand the best thing might be for him to play 15 or 20 games or 30 games of the minors, but he's so good. He does it all, and he's so smart. I just kept thinking to myself, if this guy goes into camp and continues to do this, I don't know how you leave him off an NHL roster. But I think when you look at Detroit or different teams that like to let their guys bake in the minors for a bit, but I don't know. It might be the best for his development to play for a little bit in the minors, but he's so good. I'm like, I don't know how he's going to be kept out of an NHL lineup. He's just a really good player. So yeah. Mason McTavish and Ridley Gregg, they really stood out to me.
Oh, how refreshing is it for you to see a guy like Mason McTavish, who is not only one of the top players at the tournament, but it seems like the guy loves hockey. He wants to be playing at every possible moment. Like, you think about the season he had where he played in the AHL, the NHL, the Olympics, the World Juniors, Memorial Cup. Now he's coming back to play this tournament. Like, and he's going to have to make the team out of camp in Anaheim. Like, he's not one of those guys where he's showing up to his, you know, his house on Newport Beach and he's moving in and he's playing. Like, this guy's going to have to go play training camp, all the exhibition games, probably going to have to play some rookie games too. Like, how refreshing is it for you to see a guy who has all this hockey played, all this hockey that has to be played, and just loves it and just wants to be out there?
I'm shocked that he's here, and I think it's kind of awesome that he is here. I thought for certain, Frankie, it would have been, I got my whole kind of job and life ahead of me come September and come training camp, and I got to get ready for that, and I got to be rested, and I got to be prepared. But apparently he was the guy that wanted, he said, I want to be there, and I want to play for this team. So it's really refreshing, and he's just got this thing. You can just tell he loves hockey. He loves going out there, and I'll tell you what, every time he does go out there, he makes a really good play. He's on the puck. He's not like, I wouldn't call his skating like dynamic skating, but he's just very good. He's fast. He just gets after it, and he makes things happen. He's really good. Every aspect of the game, he's really damn good playing.
Jeff, thank you for doing this for us tonight. I know it's an off day. Plans for the big Bobby Margarita celebration? Nice dinner reservation? What's going on there in Edmonton tonight?
I lie in my bed until I fall asleep and go to sleep at night. I don't see anyone, I don't talk to anyone, and I don't bother anyone. So if he is having a party, I probably will not be a part of it. As much as I feel like the guy is one of my brothers and I love him, I am not going out for anybody's birthday party tonight.
All right, well, there you go. I guess maybe not a good fit for your roommate.
I don't know if he says you want to grab a quick bite, I'll do that, but after that, I'm not doing it.
All right.
I'm not doing it.
That's it. To each his own. Thank you, O. We appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, O.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Cheers. Right.
Jeff O'Neill from Overdrive, TSN hockey analyst. And Jeff joined us on the Maple Toyota hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. And check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's red tag days. Visit MapleToyota.com.